We're going to read from God's Word this morning, and it's from the Old Testament, and it's the book of Ruth. If you don't know where the book of Ruth is, well, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, then comes Ruth. It's just before Samuel. And it's a lovely love story. I love reading this book. Time and time again, I think it's a tremendous uplift for Christians and for non-Christians to come to know Christ the Saviour. We're going to the first chapter. We read the first chapter and we look at the situation this morning. So it's Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man from Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name was one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman survived her husband, her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you will be buried, there I will be buried too. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death part you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Indeed, may God bless unto us the reading from his word. And as we share in that word, may God help us to draw ever so close to him. There is always a strong pull or yearning for a homeland. In Wales, we call it hiraeth. I remember very plainly about 40 odd years ago, we went up to London, Heathrow, my wife and the two boys, and we'd hired a minibus to go and pick up Doreen's brother and his family from Heathrow. And it's the first time Doreen had seen her brother in 22 years. There was no Skyping in those days. And if you wanted to send a letter, it took roughly about 6 weeks to get to New Zealand or Australia, where they were then. And on the way home, as we came across the old Severn Bridge, as we come into towards Cardiff, on the left-hand side, you will also see a sign saying, "Welcome to Wales." And when we got there, we said, we'll keep a welcome. We sang, "Keep a welcome in the hillside." And my brother-in-law started crying. He was back home. We have this pull of going home. This isn't confined to humans. You find it in animals. You'll find them in birds and fish. And an example of that, of course, is the salmon. Always been, goes back to where it was spawned in the first place, back to the river. And after 2 years or more in the sea, it finds its way back. You know, God is like that. He pulls us. He wants us back to the position that we should be in. Here in our reading, Naomi is drawn to return home. Verse 6 tells us this. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and had given them bread. They'd left. There was a famine in the land, and they left. They wanted a better life for the family, for the two boys, and they left the land of Bethlehem and Judah and gone to Moab. Well, things had happened. As we'd read, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died, and then the two boys died. God often allows us to go down a certain way for him only to draw us back into his way. It's like going at the edge of a cul-de-sac. Now, you know what a cul-de-sac is. You can only go one way in. If you want to get out, you've got to come around, turn around and come back out the same way. Well, sometimes we like this. God has allowed us to go to the edge of the cul-de-sac, and we want to go down that cul-de-sac. And God says, "Go on. You've got to come back to where you started." So this woman, Naomi, she has left her home. She's gone to this new this territory of Moab. And notice, she hadn't gone to another part of Israel or Judah. She went to Moab, a foreign country. But God draws her back. Why? Because God's plan is different from Naomi's and the family. Naomi think she decides to return to Bethlehem from Moab. But that looks like it on the surface. But behind the scene, God is pulling. I remember when I went to London to live when I was 18 years of age, going from a valley experience, it's a shock. It hits you. You knew nobody there. And it was terrible weather. It was snow falling all the time. And I think if somebody had said came into that house and said they were going back to Wales, I'd have said, could I have a lift? But God drew me back. And when I was back in Wales, within a certain time, I got converted. You see, God draws us by his plans, his purpose. We might think that we can do what we like and say what we like and act as we like. But above all is God's plan of salvation for mankind. God has seen fit to remove that family so that they could return back, because he was working out his perfect will for them and for his own purpose, to bring glory and honor unto his name. God opens doors for us too, and we have to walk through them in our lives. It would seem from verse 7 that Orpah and Ruth were also set to go with Naomi. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to Judah. On the surface, it looks at these two young women are going back with her. But one isn't fully committed. And you know, we can be like that in our lives. We can either be fully committed or we cannot be fully committed. We can say we are Christians, but yet we are not fully committed to Christ. Orpah gave the impression that she was going back. You see, Naomi, by the way that she lived and by the way she spoke and acted, had shown these two girls from an alien foreign country that there was something different in Naomi's life. And that difference was God in it, in her, in a real and living way. And it spoke to their hearts. And we can look at people and we can say, wow, weren't they wonderful people? And I don't know about you, but I have, over the last, say, 6 or 7 years, I've looked up to people and then found out they've been paedophiles. And I've enjoyed listening to them and watching them perform and whatever, and then to find out that they are paedophiles. And it's just shocked me. Probably shocked many of you. We can give the impression that what we are like, but are we deep down truly Christ's? We can come on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, in the week, we can give all the impression that we are Christians, but are we deep down? Orpah gave that impression on the outside, but yet deep down, when the opportunity came, she left to go back to her old ways, to her old home, to her foreign gods. But there was a difference in Ruth. A difference was that she clung to Naomi. What Naomi stood for, what she believed in, this young girl was so captivated that she said, I want what you got. And you know, that should be our experience in our life. As we meet with our family, with our neighbors, friends, those acquaintances, that they should say, I want what you've got. This is what happened in revival times. People were so full of God in their life that people around them saw them, I want what you've got. Do they say that about you or me? Or are we different people when Sunday is over? Do we live for God one day a week, or do we live for God 7 days a week? God wants us to be fully committed to Him. Fully committed to Him. Naomi gave her daughters-in-law the opportunities to go back to Moab. She said, look, she says, go back to your God, to your home. You see, I got no children more for you to marry. You go back. And Orpah went, but Ruth clung to her. See what God does here. He opens the way for this young woman, Ruth, because God has got great plans for her. She doesn't see it now. We only see what we see now. We can't anticipate what's going to happen tomorrow. We may think we can. We make plans to do this or to do that. We make plans to go on holidays, perhaps 5-6 months ahead. But we don't know whether we can reach that. So all God has guaranteed us is the last breath that we have breathed. We don't know what tomorrow might bring. But what we do know is that when we are in His hands, He will take care of us. And this is what Ruth does. She puts her life in God's hands. She trusts God. She says, your God shall be my God. I wonder this morning, are you saying that? That God is going to be my God. I'm going to follow Him every step of the way. I'm going to be His, fully committed to Him. Because that's what God wants of each and every one of us. Not that we're half-hearted. Cool and warm. What does John writes in Revelation, doesn't he? What Jesus says to him. That he says to one of the churches, he said, I wish you were either hot or cold. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You neither one nor the other. Are you sitting on the fence this morning? Or are you down one side or the other? Because we don't know what tomorrow might bring. You may have to face God before this night is out. Are you for Him? Or are you against Him? Well, Naomi, she wants to go back. She wants to go back to her homeland. She's heard that God has blessed them, that the famine is over and there is food there. And she wants to go back. She wants to go home. You know, God wants you and I. This, we are just passing through this scene of time. We are here today. I was just saying in the back room there, you know, that next year now, I'll be down to 289 days in the year. That's how I feel. The years are going so fast that the days only seem like 200 rather than the 300 that we should be doing. God wants us to look to Him, to be guided by Him, and to be instructed by Him. It appears in the fact that Naomi wants to go back to Bethlehem, go back to her homeland, back to her people. And God wants you back in His house if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior of your life. He wants you to be His child, to know Him in a real and living way. In the daily experiences of your life. Not just on a Sunday morning in church when you're around people who are like-minded, singing the hymns, praying, listening to God's word. He wants you to be His, fully committed. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Naomi, though, actually encourages them to stay. Say, go back. Go back. If you come with me, you're coming into a foreign country. You're coming to a different people. But Ruth tells her, I'm willing to go with you because I want God to be my God. I want to live with you. And not only that, where you die, I will be buried too. Committed. Total commitment. Can you say that this morning? Here we see that God wants people totally committed to him. Why? Because he is the great, only true God. We can put all the excuses we like. Ruth could have done that. She could have said, well, I'm going to back to a foreign people. I don't know their language. I don't know their culture. What can I do in there? How will they react to me, a foreigner, the enemy, Moab? We can put all our excuses to God. We can say that, well, I haven't got time to be fully committed to you. I've got this to do, I've got that to do. But God wants us to be fully committed to him. Not sitting on the fence, not going a different way, but fully committed to him. Even when we do commit ourselves to him, we can still let him down. And here we see even a chink in Naomi. In verse 13, she says these words, No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. There's a bit of a chink there. Although she is God's, although she is a Christian, although she is a follower of the living God, she lets him down. And she says, well, he hasn't dealt really well with me, has he? And sometimes we can get in that position in our lives. Why can't I be happy? I watch sometimes these programs, Wanted Down Under. And the thing is that they want to go to the other side of the world to start again a new life with their family, to have a better life, to be more happy. But we can't be happy in this life if we are outside of Christ. We can't be all the time. We only see the here and now, not the whole picture, but God knows the whole picture. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning and the end and everything in between. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We only see a little picture of today. We can see the past. We can see the little picture of today. But we can't see the future. But he sees everything and knows everything. And he wants you and me to put your faith and trust in him. That's why I sang those hymns this morning. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you trusting Christ this morning? The gospel you may have heard many, many times. You may have sat under godly ministry. And we're thankful for God. We've got a man here that preaches the word of God faithfully Sunday after Sunday. And yet, have you responded to God's word? Have you trusted in him, fully committed? We can sit down, we can let down our guard and allow the situations in our lives and the opportunities to do evil. But are we his? Faith and trusting God is to put to one side anything that is human, of our own ability, of our own strength, and ask him to take over. And that's what God wants of you this morning. He wants you to be committed fully to him, that he might take over your life fully. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We can think we can do things in our own strength, in our own might. Remember when God visited Abraham and told him that Sarah was going to have a child when she was 90 years of age? And she laughed. It's impossible, isn't it? And yet there's nothing impossible with God. You may think that you can go through life and do as you like. But God says, no, you can go and go no further. I want you to be mine. His perfect plan and purpose to work out in our lives. How God wants us to work for him, we don't know. You might not be a preacher. You might think, well, I've got my own life. I've got my work. I've got to earn a living for my family. But even there, you can be a servant for God in the place where God places you. The way may be hard in front of you, as it seemed to be hard for Ruth, going to a foreign country where she knew no one. And yet she was willing to go because she trusted in the God that Naomi showed her. What do we see here? We see someone willing to follow God. The whole story is a story of love. And as you read it, it's such a thrill to know that God is working out his perfect plans for centuries. And through this woman, Ruth, comes Christ. Wow, it's amazing. And all this is being worked out through God's perfect plan. Are you part of that plan this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you allowing him to rule and reign in your life? Do you take him seriously? Or do you think that perhaps this life, well, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die, and that's it. But the Bible tells us clearly that there is an afterlife from here. It is eternal life. And that eternal life you can know right now as you put your faith and trust in him. Ruth went back with Naomi. And her life changed out of all recognition. She married Boaz. And Boaz looked after them and cared for them. And she gave him a son called Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. And from David came the Savior. You might think that perhaps it's a wonderful story. And it can happen to anyone. Well, it can. Can happen to you. You can know Christ in a real and a living way as you put your faith and trust in him. Now, Ruth didn't know what was going to lie ahead of her, but she was faithful in putting her life in God's hands. We don't know what the future is, But God wants us to put our hand in his hand and to trust him. That's all he asks of us. And leave the rest to him. He knows what's best. How do we do this? It's in simple faith. Come in and saying, here I am, Lord. I'm empty. I can do nothing of myself. I know that I am a sinner and I need salvation. And he will come in like a flood. He'll fill you to the overflowing and you will live for him. That's what he wants of each and every one of us. Those who have known him for many years and those who don't yet know him but will come to know him. So put your faith and trust in him. We don't have to go to another country. We can know him right now, right here. And that's what God wants of us. May God help us to know him in a deeper and more loving and knowing way. May we be taught by him and instructed by him that we might move for him at his impulse in our life day by day. So may God help us this morning to be encouraged by this young woman Ruth through her mother-in-law Naomi, and grant that we too might be encouraged and strengthened in our faith to go forward trusting him. For we ask it in his name's sake and for his glory. Amen.